Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us. You know, each show we're talking about seven ways to choose healing, a little book by Stephen Arterburn. And our verse today is Matthew 17:20. Jesus told his disciples, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Have you been on the side of things not being fixed? And people look at you like maybe if your faith had been a little stronger, you would have experienced joy in this victory. Many of us have had this experience. I know I have. When my mother passed away, the pastor of our little church at the time said that she would not have passed away if we'd had more faith. The author, Stephen Arterburn, says that he would like to make it clear when it comes to healing, he is talking about the transformation of a soul. And sometimes the transformation of a body. I'm talking about things getting better physically, emotionally, or spiritually, and the part that faith plays in it. Your faith is restorable. You do not need to possess some mountain-moving kind of faith. Sometimes we hear that lie, but it is a lie. Sometimes we hear that if we have strong faith, we get healed, and if we have weak faith, we don't get healed. But then, of course, if it is not fixed, it is an indication that our faith isn't there. Don't believe this. It's nonsense. If you doubt or your faith wanes, well, just realize that it is a common thing and that all God asks of us is something that we can muster up, which might be the faith the size of a mustard seed. That is all God needs to work in our lives, one small seed of faith. "Sir," the man beside the pool of Bethesda said to Jesus, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me." This man's hopes were dashed time after time, and yet the day Jesus told him to pick up his mat and walk, he picked up his mat and he walked. And he wanted to be well so much that he responded with two actions. He picked up his mat and he walked. After 38 years, he chose healing. In walking away from the pool, he walked away from all it represented. Something hopeful, but unattainable. The man walked away from the sights and smells and sounds of Bethesda. He was done with gruesome wounds all around him and grotesque smells always in his nose and horrific groans echoing off stone walls and colonnades. I know that it takes action. Does the setting like the Pool of Bethesda resemble your life? How long have you struggled in a hopeless place? Is it time to pick up your mat and walk? Wow, that is awesome. I think it's time for all of us to pick up our mats and walk. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. And help each one of us in this day. Not worry about tomorrow, not begrudge yesterday, but to pick up our mat and to walk. And to walk into the newness of life that you would have for us. Help us to understand that it is through our suffering that ministry is born and that ultimately salvation for us. So give us patience and perseverance. Be with the family that has the little child recently diagnosed with cancer. Give them courage and hope. Be with grandma who is sick in the hospital and the family that is watching her last days. And be with our nation, Lord. Heal our nation. Thank you so much for hearing our prayers, and may the rest of this show be to your honor and glory. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Well, our arts and crafts, we're talking about thankfulness, gratitude, and today we are doing gratitude kindness notes. And these are little notes that say things like, I'm grateful for my dad because, or I'm grateful for my brother because, I'm grateful you're my grandma because, I'm grateful you're in my family because. And you can go to my Pinterest site. I put something there. I put a whole section on gratitude because we are so strong when we are grateful. And we can get out of depression by being grateful. We can get a whole lease on health by having an attitude of gratitude rather than criticizing, scrutinizing, fault finding, and that kind of thing. So as you think about your thankfulness, you can do these kindness notes. It also corresponds with the idea of the kindness challenge. And you can either have your children write it out. You write what you want them to say on a board or a piece of paper, and then they copy it, which can then be their writing assignment for the day. So just have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. Well, we've been working on how to develop your own curriculum using old textbooks, using technology, using the resources that you have readily available that you don't have to spend a lot of money on. Now, we've been talking about high school, so we haven't ruled out technology because that can really be your friend in high school. To get a high school diploma, you need to have three sciences. And the three sciences that I always do are biology, chemistry, and earth science. But depending on the student, I don't necessarily make it as rigorous. And Khan Academy can help you with this. Think Well Homeschool has lovely curriculums on these. I still, with those, just pick and choose what I want. Earth science is one of those sciences that we usually start with first, like freshman does earth science, and then they do biology, and then they do chemistry. It can be backwards. I mean, that you could do it in any order you want. Chemistry can be taught in such a way that even a seventh grader can easily get it. You know, learning the periodic table is a pretty standard thing, and but they don't have to learn all the math that can go with chemistry. They can just learn how chemicals go together, about the gases and the aqueous solutions and that kind of thing. It's really a journey that you can take with them. So that covers our curriculum for what you need for science to make sure that your child graduates with the proper high school homeschool diploma, that they have biology, chemistry, and earth science. This question from a parent is, they have a 5.5 month old, a 3-year-old, and a 6-year-old, and she is just worrying herself. It literally keeps her up at night. That if something should happen to both parents, who would help raise her children or who would take her children? And I don't know of any parent that has not had that fear. And I know I had that fear. I had lovely relatives that loved my children just as much as I did, that I knew would take care of my kids. And when my sister was on her last days, she was fearful about that. Who would take care of her two girls? And I've been there for her two girls, and I will continue to be. God loves your children, and He has told us not to have a spirit of fear. I think it's 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. And there's many texts, you know, fear not, for I am with you. I will be your God. When I look at some of the biggest sins against God, it is the sin of fear. He wants us to have faith. He wants us to believe that He loves your children just as much as you love your children. He loves your children more than you love your children. So if something should happen to you, He would most certainly take care of them, and you would see them again in the kingdom made new. In the meantime, that lack of sleep by worrying about that really does wear on being able to be in the present. We know that one of the indications of a good, sound mind is being able to live in the present, to be present there for your children, not to be so exhausted from having worried about them the night before that you can hardly function during the day, but that you have gone to sleep, rested in Jesus, the peace that passes understanding. Let's face it, we all have this hanging over our head. We're in an enemy-occupied territory called this sinful earth. And only as we let God truly take over our lives and rest in Him can we have good rest. And we need that rest to do the things He wants us to do, to live our life to the fullest. I mean, wouldn't it be sad if a parent who wasn't getting enough sleep would hurt their child inadvertently because they weren't paying close attention and the very thing they were afraid of happened? You know, it's called self-fulfilling prophecy. So you really want to take those negative thoughts and push them out. And every time one of those negative thoughts come, you replace it with one of those wonderful promises that God has given you. The one I like the best is, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in Me, believe also in God. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again." And then, of course, the verse I mentioned earlier, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear." And then, "Fear not, for I am with you." There are so many wonderful verses in the Bible. Just fortify that faith part of you with those verses and stay away from the fear food. The fear food is what I consider stories of calamity, television programs that have calamity in them. Steer away from that and focus on faith food. And that concludes Questions Parents Ask. I hope you stay tuned for the interview.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I'm talking with Susan Harris. She's the Director of Communications for Pulse, and you can go to the website pulsemovement.com. That's spelled PulseMovement.com, pulsemovement.com. And this is a movement that was started by Nick Hall when he was a student at a university. And from there, we've been talking about some of the other huge gatherings of young people. I mean, that in itself is a testament to God's guidance over this movement. So, Susan, you are married and you have two children. How do you balance family with this type of a job?
Yeah, it definitely is about balance and trying to figure that out, because the job is a pretty demanding one. But I have an amazing family who supports me in all of that. And my kids are 9 and 12, so they are just actually at the age where they're a little bit more self-sufficient. So in some ways, things have gotten a little bit easier than they were even a few years ago when I started working outside of the home. So I was at home for a little while when they were really young. But now they know that I am doing this for Jesus, and I think just involving them in that and inviting them to events where they can hear it and see it, and they understand that there's a greater purpose. This week, for instance, I'm gone for 4 days, and it's always hard to leave them, but they know why it is that I do what I do. But for me personally, in a lot of ways, I felt passionate about working with young people, but this year my sons started middle school, and all of it suddenly became a lot more real and personal for me, where I'm starting to see just, you know, what lies ahead for him, and kind of getting into some of that with technology and cell phones and social media and all of that. And so as I'm seeing what other parents have gone through and trying to balance all of that and to speak truth into this kid's life when he's hearing other things at school and in the world, I just see a need for what we're doing and the importance of continuing to talk about Jesus and to share Jesus and to make him known.
I mean, the whole public school system is a huge mission field. And really, our only missionaries are our kids that can talk about it. And it's wonderful to think that you are having an influence in higher ed, because there's that war of, you know, partying at, when you go away to college, going to a party school, or finding that deeper meaning of life and that purpose. So
I think even at the schools that are more intellectual or educational, there it's almost just as hard, because you're taking in classes, you're sitting in rooms with professors who have just a different view of life. And so, you know, the message that they're getting is that, you know, Christianity is not real. It doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. And so they're fighting all of that while also being tempted by all the other things that happen on a college campus. So it's really hard. If you don't have just an incredible faith foundation, it's going to be hard to stay focused in college. And that's why I think the statistic is that like 70% of young adults walk away from the church during that time period. So we're just trying to fight against that and to kind of make some changes there with how people are hearing about Jesus and how they're being impacted by the gospel.
Now, Billy Graham just recently passed away, and of course he was known for filling stadiums. So do you think he had an influence on Nick when he first started this ministry?
Absolutely. So Nick is just a big, strong fan of Billy Graham, but also had the opportunity to work with the Billy Graham team during a few years while Nick was in college. So he traveled with them. He was their youth MC for a while. And he kind of, you know, learned under Reverend Graham's leadership and really modeled what Pulse is doing after the Billy Graham ministry. And so we just have the utmost respect for everything that he did. Nick had the opportunity to spend time with him. Even, I think it was just about 5 years ago, Nick and his wife and their baby son at that time got to visit with Billy in his home and talk to him about what Nick was doing. And he was excited for the event that they had already started planning on the National Mall. And so, yeah, absolutely. We are blessed to have him kind of as part of our history. And now Nick is also the president of Mission America Coalition, which was another one that Billy Graham worked with as well. So he's definitely part of the Pulse DNA.
Yes, and you know, I just sit in amazement when I see the connectedness where, you know, I didn't have anything in here to ask that question. Mm-hmm. I just have to think that it was a question that God impressed me to ask, mm-hmm. because it goes to show you that no man's an island. We influence, we're just continually influencing each other. And I look forward to when you're going to write a book.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't know that I have plans for that, but with that encouragement, maybe I will.
Because I think that, you know, if we don't figure out how to communicate, if we don't figure it out, the story is lost, mm-hmm. pure and simple. So, yeah, we might be doing wonderful things, but no one's hearing about right. it if it's not communicated. And I can see just a huge need for Christian communicators to figure out how to do this. Mm-hmm. How should we do this? I know that I would love to read it because I'm here doing something that's not in my wheelhouse,
sure.
but it's communication. Mm-hmm. And so I want the message to get out. I mean, people say, why do you do this? You know, you don't make any money at it. Why do you do it? And I go, God gave it for me to do. And I think my job is yep. to get the message out yep. about everyone has a story. Everyone has a ministry. But if people don't know about it, you know, something's lost. So when you're looking towards the plans for the future, you mentioned that we have this May 18th and is it October 20 and 21
yep.
events coming up. Apart from that, like 5 years from now, do you have a strategic plan for, does your organization have a strategic plan for?
Yeah, the future for Pulse will always include these large gatherings, and so we'll continue to do those nationwide or internationally as we've done some work. But we also really want to focus on two different areas. One is in the area of training. We really just believe that we can multiply what we're doing by training more people
yes.
to do the same. And so we want to train people to share their faith. We also want to train young evangelists who also feel called to this. And so we really want to include that as part of our forward thinking over the next couple of years. And then secondly, we're really working on the digital side of what we're doing. So already we're trying to reach people online and through social media, but we want to just put more concerted effort into that so that our resources, the things that we do, the messages are all available to people around the world, really believing that that's another way that this generation is going to be impacted.
Yeah, and that falls under your wheelhouse of
yep.
communication.
Yep.
So there you have it. Well, thank you. We've come to the end of our show. Do you have a favorite verse or saying that kind of is your mantra in life?
For me, really, it is, you know, we as an organization look at Habakkuk, and really, I think it's Habakkuk 3:2, but you can correct me on that if I'm wrong, but where he's calling out and God, he's saying, God, you know, we've heard of what you've done. Please renew it in our day. And so we are just really believing that God
Amen.
Is going to bring revival and that this world is desperate for it. This country mm-hmm. is desperate for it. And we're just praying into that what we're doing can have just a sweeping effect.
Amen. Well, we're to the end of our show. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.